All right, so we have the recording started, and we've got a handful of you on here. Let me see if we have anybody on the webcast. Okay, a couple people on the webcast. All right, so so welcome everyone to our third version, our third session of our summer teleclasses, and. I wanted to, this is and can still be a conversation on the three life purpose points for those of you that have questions on those from the audios. But I wanted to just, make sure that anyone who is having any questions. I know that there's a certain level of, Reese speak that goes on in here around archetypes and chakras and vows, freedom statements, all this sort of stuff. And I thought that this would be a good week to just kind of take a sort of the middle week, take a breather, and just ask any question you have about any part of the chart program, experiences that you've had, where they might go in the chart. How that all works, what archetypes really are, how, really understanding them. And I am more than happy to answer those questions. So let's just open it up. Anybody who, I need all of you to participate tonight because I don't have a sort of set amount of material that I want to get through. We'll go as long as people have questions. I've got a little bit of a cold. So I may not make it through the whole hour and a half, but my voice is still shaky. Those that were on the summer retreat, which was just awesome, we had so much fun, and it was really great to see everybody, and people went really deep. It was awesome, but I got a chest cold that. Lost my voice, still getting it back, just getting it back yesterday and today. So anyway, we'll see how that goes. All right. So let's just start. Star two. Raise your hand. Start asking questions because this is all coming from you. And I will of course have comment, but just think about bring your chart and or call something up and maybe chakras 1 through 7, any of the archetypes that we picked in there, or any questions that you have about that, star two. And if you are on the Q&A, you want to type something in, type that in, because this is all going to be, if nobody asks questions, this could only last 10 minutes or so. So let's go. Come on, somebody. We need somebody to raise their hand. All right. Adrian's always a good one to jump in there first. Perfect. Hey, Adrian.
I felt you hanging out there. I was holding back, but I didn't want to abandon you.
No. And the group needed saving too, so that's good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, happy to help.
So your hero. Your hero jumped in. All right, so what do you got?
Exactly. Well, I have millions of questions on here, but the one that came up, and I don't know if I mentioned it to you when we were there, I think I did casually, was that I had this kind of epiphany that in my first chakra, I was a weed, that the archetype of a weed came out. And it was actually kind of a positive thing. My dear classmates, Gail, said, I think I'd actually call you a wildflower instead, which was a nice twist on it. But I'm just curious. I mean, it felt like first chakra, because it's sort of in my physical space, for one. Mm-hmm. I do kind of fill whatever space is open with my creativity or things I'm working on, and it's always me moving from one thing to the next. But yep. I don't know that it necessarily is really just first chakra, because it also feels like my seventh chakra.
Yep.
because it's a physical and a mental kind of creative jumping from one idea to the next. And I'm just curious for your feedback on how to think about it.
Well, let's see. I like the idea. Well, I mean, just are you weeding? Are you being like the wildflower or the, you know, so talk about that for a minute. Is it, weeds still fill empty spaces, right?
Weeds do or don't?
They do, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You leave an empty space in the garden and a weed's going to fill it, right?
Yep.
And so that's, what's the quality of the weed that you
that resonates?
Attribute yourself to? Yeah.
Well, it sort of came up because Jana was at my house the night before the weekend, and I was showing her around, and a lot of the house has either my artwork or other things going on, you know, things. And my work, especially where it's sort of theoretically confined, spills into everything, both in a tidy way and a kind of in-process way. Sometimes it's final and it gets hung somewhere, but I felt like and it's sort of a joke with my husband that, you know, we tried to have this long desk and I couldn't share a desk with him because when mine got too messy, I moved them to his. So I needed clear space. So, and that is, he's like, can you just leave me a space on the dining room table for my computer sometimes? You know, anyway, so it was sort of a sense that physically I have a hard time containing myself. And consciously, and like as I'm telling someone a story, I'll jump from idea to idea because I got a lot of things going on. And then I probably have some ADD in the vernacular of today. But my KA has managed to keep it under wraps. So it sort of felt like I was owning the spontaneity and the wildness of it. Instead of, you know, what was my, my goal before I even put this was to declutter my house and recognize when I need help and be okay asking for it. So it was sort of funny. And I said that maybe it was to Robin Thomas, who was with us. And she said, instead of decluttering your house, that's not really a coming into balance. It's more be compassionate around who you actually are.
Right. Okay. So this is good. And, so it would be, you know, if you wanted to put, wildflower in, say your, like your physical life purpose point, you know, you know, exuberant artist in your spiritual life purpose point, you know, that I mean, basically there's a, you know, your charismatic leader part of that is very simple. It's just, you're a space invader, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're a space invader. Everything you said is like, I invade spaces. I fill them up. I don't have any boundaries. And that's very charismatic.
I jumped
leader.
Right
now,
in. I filled in that empty space right away.
Right. You jumped, like right now. We had an empty space.
Yeah,
nobody was raising their hand. Nobody ever wants to be first. And you're like, boom, I'm in. Okay, I'll do it. I'm you know, so there's an open space. I'll take it. Why wouldn't I? I mean, God knows, why wouldn't I take that? Or put something there, or if you had someone else that were sitting there next to you, you'd hand them the phone or whatever, but you'd fill the space somehow.
Right. Burning to talk, but I felt like, I guess I should.
You filled an empty space. So this is, so that's space invader or space filler. I guess the shadow of the space filler is the space invader. Okay.
Right.
But the space filler finds something lovely, a flower, of something beautiful, that's natural, that's not like, that's not all, you know, it's not something, you know, that anybody else would have. Because, I mean, you look at wildflowers and it's like you've never seen them before. You know, it's like, what kind of flower is this? And And that kind of exuberance is really something to acknowledge. It's sort of your, mm-hmm. you know, your entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, it could go back to your entrepreneur. Where do you have your entrepreneur?
I don't have that in there. Because I
don't have enough.
We've never come up with that. And it's funny. I've often had ideas for things I'd like to do. But an entrepreneur needs to be committed to doing it, whether or not they've got people on board. And I can't work alone with a singular vision. I need collaboration.
Yeah, no. Entrepreneurs just, as long as you have throughout your life started up some kind of businesses, and they don't even have to make money making businesses, but just in, you know, creating, putting something out, creating something in the world. I mean, if you're filling spaces, you've been creating stuff all the way along, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Okay. And you're creating stuff that nobody else has done. And whether you're making money at it or not, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And you're an entrepreneur,
right.
And going out and enlisting people and situations and stuff and materials. And, you know, that's what an entrepreneur does.
Right.
And obviously
right.
entrepreneurs are interested in being successful in their businesses.
Right.
So,
right.
And you just got to look, you know, were you the one that filled the space in the neighborhood that didn't have a lemonade stand with a lemonade stand? Or did you do, you know, what did you do with the, you know, how did you motivate people and do things? So, so with that, it may come from that, but it, you know, but that, sense of sort of filling a space with something beautiful is, that would be, you know, I could totally see you could put that in any of those. You just have to see, has that been something you've always done? You know, when you were growing
mm-hmm.
up, did you share a bedroom with a sibling and you were decorating the entire room? You didn't. You had your own room.
No, I had my own room.
Had your own
Definitely
room. Okay,
did.
No problem. No problem filling that whole thing. Did you end up going down the hall a little bit?
Nope. Never.
Nope. Okay.
I don't,
so it was all your
I
room.
I don't even remember. Yeah, I don't remember having this issue before, you know. I don't think there was space for that. I didn't have stuff. We didn't have a lot of – I didn't have a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. Uh-uh.
Okay. All right. So, but you'd want to see sort of this – you would want to see this pattern somehow in your life if it were an archetype.
Right. Okay.
You know, and if it was in the first chakra, it would be constantly, you know, filling that gap. I mean, maybe it's fifth chakra, what you're doing right now. You know, if there were ever a lull in the conversation, you know, you're always jumping in and making the conversation
right.
in the family, you know, or, in, you know,
right.
that sort of thing.
Well, I guess the one other piece of myself that keeps coming up, and I still, you know, not sure how to do this, and you and I had talked about the Herald or the, what else did we call it?
Right.
Kind of the truth teller is my friends always joke that I need to do a blog. Because they're always like, oh, you have all the ways to do things, but better. Like, you know, which of the vitamins should I take and which thing should I do and which, and it's just like a constant thing. So they joke it's Adrienne's list. And
yep.
I'm always sharing it and they're always asking me like, can you send me the name of that? And how do you make that smoothie and those great, you know, it's always random things, but they're like little things that I've discovered or hacks or things that are better. And it's just a joke among all of my friends. And, of course, just ask me because I'll have the answer to that.
Right.
So I can't quite figure out where that is, but it just keeps coming up all the time now. Maybe because I'm owning it and, you know, I've talked to people about my sharing with it. And I said, I don't like to be pushy about it. And they're like, no, you're just sharing information. That makes my life better. So that's great, you know.
Right. And that could be part of your weed or your wildflower too. You know, I mean that can all be one archetype. But it's also like that's like almost like a MacGyver kind of a you know, you're hacking things, right? You're finding the way to
right.
finding the fast way to get to something for other people.
Right.
Easy ways to
or
you
the
know,
better
ways
way.
To use.
Better way to do it.
Better
right.
way. better way to do it with less, you know, with which is what an artist does too. I was just at the Museum of Fine Arts yesterday with the fam, and we just had, you know, we had some fun. You know, art, you know, I'm always amazed. I mean, there's obviously the unbelievable, like, European art and things like that. And, you know, he's still, but, you know, we went down and we were, you know, there was all this art from, I think, Nigeria or someplace. And it was, it's like, you know, art is just a matter of putting things together in a different way than, you know, in a way that's symbolic. You know, there's like a metaphor within what you're doing. There's a there's like a universal meaning in pulling things together. And that's, you know, that can be that artistic, you know, artistic way of looking at life. So a lot of these, so when you're thinking about your archetypes as well, don't just think about them in the one thing, you know, say, okay, how does this impact everything? Cause once you get it in that chakra, you know, once you get it in that chakra, you realize that energy, everything you do in that chakra sort of serves that energy. And and that kind of artistic, creative way of helping people and maybe invading their space a little bit to make sure that they get it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and that's, and is it you know, is it what you do in the family? Or just in the family and your body? Or is it what you do in your job, third chakra? Or is it what you do in your, you know, the way you talk? Do you help people, you know, that way? I mean, you'd have to kind of put it in someplace and then watch where it really comes out. That makes sense? And I totally, you know, it could totally be, you know, a piece of your physical life purpose, you know, but that would have to be back to, you know, you would have always been doing this sort of stuff, finding these little things, helping people that way. And
I think you sort of thought it was in my aha point last time we talked.
Yep. So it could be, or you know, any of those spiritual points there, because it's kind of a job for you, right?
Yeah.
Remember the spiritual life purpose point is like the closest thing you have to a purpose of a job, purpose being your job.
Okay. Right.
And if it was in there, it's like, that's just what I, you know, that every job I've ever done has basically been that, you know? So for me, it's the teacher. Every job I've ever done has ultimately been teaching people. And I'm always teaching people stuff that I've discovered the great teachers didn't notice. Like they had 90% of the pie, and I'm like, yeah, but that 10% that you missed is the only part that counts. So then I teach that.
Right. And
right?
Is that
so
your
sort of like
spiritual life purpose point?
That's my life purpose, is the professor of the Reese method.
Right. But
and it's
that's
being,
the,
and
your
it's being driven,
life
it's
purpose.
Being it's being driven by the iconoclast in my physical life purpose point that says I never do anything like anybody else. What? How would that benefit anyone?
Right.
So it's like always finding the next. Everything can be improved on. Everybody missed something. Nobody gets the whole picture. And so if I find the piece of the picture that they didn't do, that pulls together all the work that they've done, which is usually, you know, a lot of these people that I've studied and worked, you know, through, have done enormous amounts of work. So, So that's a way to do it. I like that idea, you know, and by the way, all of you, you don't have to just use the typical people archetypes. You can use wildflower or weed, you know, as long as you know what it means and you can explain it. You know, that's great. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thanks for jumping in. All right, everybody.
My pleasure.
Let's see. All right. Let me see if I can get, I'm putting you back on hold there. Now, I want to get a couple of second year students to raise their hands. Where'd everybody go? Oh, there we go. You're all back. Let me try it again. lower. Oh, there we go. Oh, we have another hand up. That's what happened while I was, while I lost the screen for a second. Okay, Lawrence, no name, 3153. Who's that?
That is me, Joanne Cody.
Hey, Joanne. Awesome.
How you doing?
Good.
So
good.
Good old second year student.
and that's exactly what I'm looking for, because I know that this stuff has got to be overwhelming. I just wanted to you know, apologize a little bit for pushing as hard, but the basic stuff, just what an archetype is, how it all works, and going through each chakra one at a time on each weekend, it's going to be, you'll get to class and you're like, oh God, I was worried about nothing. Everything gets taken step by step by step. You'll read about it in between each class. All you'll listen to is just the one audio, maybe two, you know, you do the first chakra and the physical life purpose, but you just listen to those two and you think about those, you know, and then you have time. And by the time you get it in class, the reason I do it here in the summer and kind of fire hose it is just, I want you to hear it at least once before class. And then when you hear it in class, you're like, oh, that's what he was talking about. So it's not a matter of getting it in the summertime or even having your chart all figured out, but if you can get any of it done, great. If you can't, at least you've heard the stuff, and it's important to let that in. So, all right, Joanne, tell me what you got. What's your question?
Overwhelming is a good word. I've read through picking your 12 major archetypes. I've looked through all that. I've looked at the survival archetypes and placement. I've come up with 11 other that I went through the cards, the Carolyn Mace cards.
Yep. Those are great. And hold on. As you go through this, I want to share, you know, help everybody else. If you haven't gone through your Carolyn Mace archetype cards, it's really where you start. Just because, and you did great. And I just, for everybody who's listening to this or listening to it on recording, the archetypes on Carolyn Mace's deck are really, really foundational, right? I mean, she also has, you know, you listen to the language of the archetypes, and she talks about a whole bunch of other, they're all sort of ones you understand, but they are, the ones on the deck are really sort of like the first ones you want to think about. Okay, have I got that? Have I got an athlete? Have I got a judge? Do I have a? And then, as you get used to them, you want to hone that down, because those are the ones that Carolyn Mace has in those. And I don't know how many she has in there, like 80 or whatever she has in there. Those are like the most obvious. If you ever saw someone that was living primarily in that archetype, you'd be like, oh, I get that. You know, that person's a god. That person's a nun, or a nurse, or a helper, or a, you know, a warrior. You can just tell by the look in their eye, right? And you know, you kind of go, oh, all right, I get you. You get that. And those ones that she picked are the first place to start. And then that list that I put on there on the back of what you just talked about, picking your 12 major archetypes. If you haven't read through that yet, definitely you want to. And in the back of it is a list of many, 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 many archetypes that are versions. Most of them can be related back to one of those cards in her deck. Okay. Or at least be a family member of those. So they're all sort of like, you know, you want to, and then by the time you get to third year, you're picking those more subtle secondary ones. But the first thing to do is get that deck and do it. So that was perfect, Joanne. Thank you. On this talk, I want to also make sure, encourage the second year students to sort of say, okay, this isn't like rocket science. It's just, you know, just pulling cards, looking at things, putting them on my chart. So go ahead.
Well, what I found was a lot of them, the light attributes, I'd like, oh yeah. And as soon as I'd read the shadow attributes, I was like, no. No, so I was able, I was able to hone down a lot just by the shadow attributes, and then there was some shadow attributes, like I came upon the vampire, and I went, oh, I really don't like this one, but I could relate to both, and I went, oh, I got to keep that.
Okay, good, good, and it's really, and let me stop you right there, too. That's awesome, because most people don't ever pick a negative one, or something that they consider as negative. The bully or the vampire, and those are really like the big ones. But if you've got any charismatic leader in there, you've got to look at where your vampire is, and it may be coming through a different or an emotional intelligence specialist. You've got some vampire in there. The emotional intelligence quality of the charismatic leader, or the emotional intelligence or the poor me quality, is very energetically vampire-y. And so we all at some point are over needy and over, demanding and controlling. And if you've got a lot of that and and the vampire archetype also has a lot of power in it and gives, eternal life, through their passion. But that same passion, for awakening your own passion within you is also, can also be incredibly draining when it's passion for being a victim.
Mm-hmm.
So that's perfect. And sort of recognize that and going, oh, I got that. That's really big. And it's good to have at least in your 12, you want to have at least two or three at least two. I mean, you can have more, but you can have at least two that you're like, I don't really like that one, but I know I am that one. So that's good. Okay, keep going.
Okay. Where I'm starting to have the issue is where to place them and how to place them. Like, I mean, I've got, and that's tripping me up wicked. I just don't think I understand.
Okay.
So if you could speak to that just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, in the placing your 12 major archetypes, there is a page. It is page 4 that says the basic chakra qualities match them. The basic chakra qualities to match them up to are as follows. So you want to think about this archetype which one you want to do. What archetype have you picked?
I get a little lost with like the spiritual point. So anything physical life, spiritual life, any of those.
I can run through them all right now.
Okay.
And then you can just say, because this is what you're going to do. Just go to that page 4 and on there, it's just chakras 1 through inner light point. Right.
Yep.
And then you take the archetype. Which archetype do you think you have?
I think I have a warrior.
Okay. You got a warrior. Okay. So, were you a warrior in your family, your tribe, and in sort of like the, your groundedness in the world? Like, this is what I stand for. This is what I am in, like, my immediate group of people. Like when you walked into class and you met your classmates, were you like, I'm the warrior?
Not really with my classmates, but I have no issues with doing that in my family.
Okay. All right. So you battle with your family, and that's a different, that could
yep.
be a different archetype than the warrior, but it might be. But every family you create, you would then be the warrior. You'd be like a warrior in that family. You'd fight for that.
Okay.
So that would be the first chakra. So warrior could be in there. The warrior in the second chakra is around sex, money, emotions, and passions. Right. So, and the warrior would be aggressive, it'd be like, there'd be no, warrior is, depending on what kind of warrior you are, how do you, second chakra is huge about battle. I mean, everybody battles from the second chakra. But the battle in the second chakra is, are you a warrior for getting what you want, or what are you a warrior for? The battle in the second chakra is usually an eye for an eye. If you had a warrior in the second chakra, you'd be one that would get even with everybody.
No, not really.
No, that would be okay. All right, so
mm-hmm.
that's not true. All right, so each of you think about everybody who's on here. Pick an archetype that you have. And as I talk about each of these things, as we're doing this, think about your archetype in there. Would it work in there? So in the third chakra, okay, that's around your self-esteem, your ego self, and how you self-express, how you express yourself physically, right? So, were you ever in the Army? Remember in the service or? Okay.
No.
Anything like it on a basketball team, a volleyball team, or a, you know, that kind of, you know, soldiers, warriors tend to get in, you know, they want to be in competitive battle, right? Especially in the third chakra. But the third chakra for all your archetypes would be, if you're picking, well, what is it? Does it go in there? If someone walked by you, they just see you doing anything, and it's like, wow, she can kick some ass, right? She is that's nobody to mess with. That if the warrior were in the second chakra, people would just be like, you know, it doesn't matter how big or small you are, that would be, you'd be someone to reckon with.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense? In the third chakra.
Yeah, this is beginning to come together, yes.
You understand? So now we're going, now you're looking at each one of these. Now you go to the fourth chakra, relationships, love, mm-hmm. inner process. The warrior tends to be a bit of a loner. They come into relationship sort of after the battle is won. And if you got warrior in your heart chakra, you may be a bit dominating, and won't back down in arguments with anybody, you know, that kind of thing. But for all, mm-hmm. for everyone, you know, no matter what your archetype is in the heart chakra, it's how you, is it the primary way that you are, you know, are in that relationship, are in relationship. And of course, something like the heart, the second chakra, first chakra, some of these bigger, chakras, really all of them, but for each of the profiles, there's different chakras that stand out more. But the heart chakra will often have one of the, you know, the saboteur or the child or the victim. You know, those are often in these, because these are such huge players in all of our lives and our relationships. So, but any archetype that you have, you got to run it through all the chakras and see, where does it go? And if you think, yeah, it goes in there, start noticing. How much do you battle with in your, how much are you in battle in your relationships? You know, and how much do you, you know, or do something else, or the companion or whatever other archetypes you've got. All right. Then, chakra five would be, how do you communicate or what's your creative mission, and, how do you self-express yourself verbally? How do you let what's inside of you out? And the you know, the warrior, in the fifth chakra is going to tend to, you know, have that, strong, disciplined, or, you know, aggressive kind of speech. Depending on what kind of warrior you are, if you're a knight, you know, you're one kind of warrior, or if you're a green beret, you're another kind of warrior. You know, or if you're a Xena warrior, that's, each one of them uses their voice in a very specific way. And, mm-hmm. And then you'd say, well, yeah, that's where, you know, that's really where my warrior is. Cause I will talk anybody down, you know, I will bury them.
You know, but that's the mission warriors. Is to bury them. If your warrior is in your fifth chakra, then your mission really is to, your warrior. Your mission
warrior.
Is to bury the other person.
Well, you would be a debater, right? You'd be
okay.
You could totally. I mean, you might choose the debater archetype if you were just a debater, but you're a person that is going to think about it. So that warrior is going to own the fifth chakra, and whatever type of warrior you are. It's doing it all the time. I mean, if you put an archetype in your chakra, it isn't something you used to do. It's not something you may do in the future. It's not something I do occasionally. You've already done it 20 times today, right? And the way you talk, you know, in your fifth chakra, the way you've come into a relationship, the way you've taken action in your life, you know, those are all You know, your archetypes are the managing energy in those chakras. And so once you understand what that chakra does and what dimension it inhabits, you can just watch everything in your life that chakra does. And then you can say, oh, there it is. There's my warrior again and 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 again. And if you'd put you know, the comedian in there and you told one joke today, or maybe you tell jokes only when you're on stage, you know, at a convention or something, or it's like, and you say, well, I'm a comedian, I got a great sense of humor. You know, that is not good enough, because it's got to be something that's just constant. That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay. Warrior in the sixth chakra. So sixth chakra is going to be about your vision, mind, beliefs, seeing your place in the world, seeing really how you fit in. So what would a warrior, so think about whatever your archetype is, everybody, how would your warrior see the world? football players are warriors, right?
Mm-hmm.
A warrior knows the difference between winning a battle and winning the war, right? So warriors, real warriors, when they're in their core, know, like football players, they don't have to get to the end zone. They just have to get 10 yards, right? That's a warrior. A warrior knows, I don't have to beat all of you. I just have to beat you.
Right.
Okay, so they look at the world from the perspective of, what battle can I win right now? And I'll fight the other ones later. You know, and how do you manage your world as a warrior? You know, so that would be another. And you're probably going to see, if you got warrior archetype very strongly, and it may be in one of your spiritual centers as well. That means it's going to be in you're going to see it in lots of chakras.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any archetype that you have, you should be able to see it somewhere in all of your chakras. But there's one of them that's just like, yeah, that's its dimension. And it could be that you have like your warrior is more of a general, where you're strategically planning how to win the battle. Right? And that would be more in the sixth chakra. It wouldn't be, you know, if you were the guys, boots on the ground guys. You wouldn't.
When
have
you say win the battle, does that, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, as a, you know, I mean, as a kid, when things were crap, I, you know, the win the battle was, how do I strategically make things be a certain way so that my life ends up normal?
Right,
and that plan never left. And that was my winning.
Right.
Does that make sense,
so,
what I'm saying?
Right. And so because you were taught to shoot low, you may never have thought about that as your need to win. You might have thought about it as just you just looked at it as, I had to do this to survive. I just want to have a normal life. So
right.
I'll strategize and I'll battle when I need to, but I won't battle things that are going to make it worse.
Yep.
You know, and so where did you do that from? You know, or was that just your whole life?
I think the closest we've gone to it is chakra six.
Okay. You're a pretty good schemer, right? You have good battle strategy, right? Your battle strategy,
yeah,
may be even stronger than your battle action, right? You maybe know what to do,
yeah,
but you don't always do it. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So seventh chakra would be infinite abundance, like your connection to spirit and infinite abundance. And open or closed to life, and so when you are, you know, you think about a warrior in the seventh chakra, that would be more like the battlefield kind of psychic that a warrior has, that just knows innately where the third chakra warrior is going to be one that sort of knows everyone around them. They come into the room. It's like, you're dangerous, you're not dangerous. They just have like a sixth sense of the room. That's third chakra, because the room, cause that's the actions, right? So that's all, everything that's in action in the world, you're aware of, and you'll be aware of it, your actions as well as other people's actions, through that chakra, through that archetype.
Okay.
So the seventh chakra in a warrior, I don't know if I've ever seen seventh chakra as a warrior, but I'm sure it would be sort of like the soul or it's the seventh chakra is where you are seeing opportunity. And, of course, there's, the shadow side of the warrior is that there's an opportunity to hurt somebody. And the light side of the warrior is winning without ever having to strike a blow, right? So that download into the strategy in the sixth chakra. So getting that sort of like, that knowing that there's an infinite ways to deal with this. Whereas the sixth chakra is going to be more around, I've got my certain strategies that really work. That's why the vows kind of get lodged in the sixth chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Because sixth chakra is memory. And the best fighters are ones that have very specific strategies that they use to win. And they're looking for a very specific opening. And not that they aren't, taking advantage of other situations if they're really good fighters, but they're looking, they know they've got their knockout punch. They know they've got their thing. In the sixth chakra, they're looking to apply that. In the seventh chakra, you'd be open to, you'd be more like mastery. The warrior would be a master, someone who, literally has no technique other than I'm totally open to the reality that I can win at any game, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody challenges me, I will find a way. There's an infinite number of ways to win this battle, including just walking away. Right.
Okay. Yep.
And so that would be, that might be there. And so for anybody else, that's kind of like for any other archetype you've got, you're trying to put in there, that kind of freedom, the downloading, it's like a down in the seventh chakra is where you download your, the way you operate in the world. So, all right. And then we get to the physical life purpose point, and that is that unbendable, non-negotiable part of you. It's sort of like what you always do. It's like what you've always done. It's your physical, it's really like your physical. And so think about the physical life purpose point as the entire universe is conscious, and every atom in the universe, forget person or tree or rock or planet or star, just every atom in the universe reports to the universe, to its total pure consciousness. The universe has never not been conscious of every atom and what every atom is doing in the universe. There's not one atom in the universe that doesn't serve the universe, right? It's like the universe's consciousness is every atom. It's made up of that. That's what its body is. Its body, just like your body has a trillion cells, it has a trillion planets or a trillion stars. And on those trillion stars, there's another 100 trillion planets. And on those 100 trillion planets, there's little creatures probably crawling around just like us. And each one of them serves the universe one purpose. It's given the perfect place to live that purpose, the perfect body, the perfect number of cells, the perfect number, perfect amount of intelligence, everything you'd ever need to live your purpose physically in your environment, in that point. So wherever you're placed, wherever your trillion cells are placed in the universe, that it has, it's like there's a reason for that. And there's a quality in the way you think, the way you move, you know, the body you have, the place you were born, the people you're around, you know, and there's a way that you have always sort of dealt with the world, been taking your place, not just in the world, because that's first chakra, right? If your warrior was in the first chakra, it would be with family and tribe, and you know, you'd be in that, and you literally have a body of a warrior, right? You're strong and disciplined and tough, and you know, you'd have, you know, you wouldn't be super sensitive, or you could shut those sensitivity down, you know, in that. But if you got warrior in the physical life purpose, you know, that just means that there's no part of your environment that isn't sort of training you, reminding you, calling you to be a warrior. You know, your parents had to be, your brothers and sisters had to force you into that. You had to, it was like everything, the universe surrounds you with everything you need to live your purpose and the physical matter of your life. That's it. And so for me, I had, you know, I grew up in a family where both my parents were teachers, and one of them, my mom, was a teacher who, you know, was brilliant. Just like, she's still 80, not, she's 90, I don't know, she's 92, 90, anyway, she is still, we were at the Museum of Fine Arts yesterday, and she is basically doing the tour, right? She's telling us all about every one of the works. She's, you know, she's worked there. She's done, I mean, every place. She's, you know, she's members at all the, you know, high society, this, that, the other. She knows everything about, you know, all of the artists and all the different museums and who's got, which museum has this, which museum has that. Not just museums, but she's a, you know, she's like a super knower. Like, she teaches from the knowledgeable achiever at a level that, amazing. And so I had someone who was pretty much never wrong, you know, and I was always like, yeah, but she's wrong about some things. Right. So I was already this iconoclast that I have in my first chakra was already had to be, you know, and my name's Thomas, right. I gotta be a doubting Thomas. Right. And so I was born a Thomas, and you know, growing up as a kid and people are like, oh, Thomas's promises or, you know, doubting Thomas. And I was like, well, it's true. I'm totally the doubting Thomas. I'm the one who finds the hole in the thing here. And then my mom, who had the total, you know, perfect story about everything and knows everything, I was always like, but she's not right all the time. So just, I won't go into the rest of it, but basically, you know, so that kind of like iconoclastic way of finding ways to teach, because you know that was sort of in my genes to teach. So it's like, what do you? I mean, if you got warrior in the physical life purpose point, you'll figure out what kind it is, and then how has your life always been about, you know, about fighting that battle, you know, sacrificing yourself, you know, for the good of all of that kind of stuff. Okay. And if you, you know, and if you're any other archetype, you know, it's something that you've just always been. I think we had Wendy. I don't know if Wendy's on here, but Wendy, we did one summer retreat. We were going through the physical life purpose point, and she was like Rodney Dangerfield. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so you. And I get no respect. And she always, you know, that's just, she said it from forever. And every problem she's ever had in her life is that nobody, they're not respecting me. They're not, you know, and then she jokes about it, tells a joke on herself about it. You know, and basically, you know, stays, you know, until she realized that that's what she had in there. It was very difficult to sort of see that as a good thing. But, you know, Rodney gets all of his material from, you know, being kind of a funny guy and people treating him a certain way. And he gets a lot of material from that. So you want to see that this is something that's been going on forever. It's going on your whole life. All right. Okay. And it's kind of like the place you take up in the universe. So think about that for your warrior, right?
Okay.
And then if you've got warrior in the spiritual life purpose point, so spiritual life purpose point, I said, was the closest thing to your job, you know, what you're doing here with your purpose in life. And so if your inner purpose, your contract for how you're supposed to use, so you think about all of those physical life purpose qualities that you have and, you know, the strength you have, the wisdom you have, the way you see the world, the all everything you can possibly do in your pretty much in all your chakras are the gifts of the physical life purpose point. And then how do you know you're here to use them? And then that's the, you know, if you know you're here to be a warrior, I don't think you could be a warrior in the, well, you might be, but I don't think you'd be a warrior in the spiritual life purpose point without somehow being, you know, the captain of a football team or in the army or, you know, something. I mean, you're here to, that would be, you know, something that you do. So, and I always, people, often will say, well, I'm the, I'm the teacher, you know, I'm the teacher in there, or I'm the healer. And I say, okay, so tell me the 25 ways that you're, teaching right now and have been for the last 40 years. I'm like, oh, well, I haven't taught anything yet, but I know I'm a teacher. I totally love to teach. And it's like, never. That's not how the archetypes work. You know, it's never anything that you'd like to have. It's something that you just can't stop doing and don't even usually see as a value. So it's like, you know, teachers, a lot of times teachers don't like being teachers because they don't make a lot of money. They don't do this, whatever. And they're just like, well, I like to teach, but it's really, I'd really rather have another job because, you know, the ego wants something different. So, but yeah, that quality that you deliver, it's like you're, when we really get to your one deliverable, that's in the spiritual life purpose point. And then the aha
point. I think we'll
point,
go with analyst on that one.
Analyst. Okay. All right. Good. Good. So then the analyst very, very well could, so now, well, I won't get you too confused. Let's just keep going from there. Yeah. The analyst, because each of the spiritual centers relate to chakras as well. So, but we can, but that's good. Sorry, I'm losing my voice here. All right. So then we get to the aha point, which is, how you pull all your gifts together. So if you, you know, you think about what you, whatever you've got in your physical life purpose point, and then whatever you've got in your spiritual life purpose point, and, you know, what kind of body do you have, what kind of mind do you have, all this stuff, and then what are you really here to do with it? And the aha point, is where you go, oh, that's how I like to do it. And it's your it's sort of your passion for, you know, loving your body and where you are and what you've got, and the passion for what you're going to do with it. And
okay.
It's kind of like the linking piece, you know, between the two. So, so I've got, and it's kind of a, mine is called the synthesizer because I do, you know, I take so many, I study all this stuff. I, you know, love to learn about, you know, whatever I want to learn about, whether it's martial arts or tennis or spiritual work. I'm just like, I love mastery. And so that iconoclast is trying to find like these impossible things that nobody else has seen. And then when I figure them out and I realize that everything that everybody's missed is all one entire universe of ideas and concepts, because there's a level of consciousness that hasn't been reached yet on the planet for other people to gain these levels. And that synthesizer goes, oh my God. And that's what I have to teach in my spiritual life purpose point. So the what I get, what I've got in my physical life purpose point gets awakened. It's like, oh my God, that's what I have to do with this. And then you go do it in the spiritual life purpose point. So it's kind of like, you know, for me, it's the synthesizer, but if you had a warrior in there, you know, your warrior would be seeing that I can win this battle right here, you know, and the way you do it, it would be like, if your analyst is in the spiritual life purpose point, your warrior, when you're aha point, it would be, you know, I am going to fight for this, you know, for every bit of material I need to get to analyze this to death so I can win. That makes sense?
Okay. Yep. Yep. But okay. but the bottom line of it is you're looking to win. It's a battle.
It's a battle. You got to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
You,
okay.
It's win or die. It's win or die. And
yep.
Dying, if you're a warrior, has integrity. You're not afraid to die.
Okay.
But you're also not afraid to walk off the battlefield. That's a win.
Yeah.
You know, if you were a kid that was out playing with your friends and they started being jerks and it was your ball, give me the ball. I'm out of here. Game over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a win. Right? So you figure, you know, it's like they don't – a lot of great warriors don't ever throw a punch because they use their mind or they use their voice or they use, you know, their wit. You know, there's a lot of ways to do it. All right. So so then we don't get let's wait on the soul point and inner point, but just
okay.
If you for each of you as I was going through that.
This helped a ton.
You all yeah, so that's really what you need to do with every archetype you have. Don't just say, well, maybe the second chakra. Like, well, why? You know? And then why wasn't it the third chakra? And or can you get it down to that's definitely one of these three, and then maybe start watching your life, you know, which is what this is all about. The, you know, this work is about consciousness work. An enlightened person is not a person who's like floating with the angels and talking to the Buddha. An enlightened person is talking to the tree in front of them, talking to the like I'm sitting here at the lake. It's absolutely gorgeous right now, and you know, got these huge. You know, 100-foot tall pine trees in front of me and the lake sort of spread out. And an enlightened person is having a full-on conversation with everything in their life, not judging anything as being good or bad or indifferent or, you know, or something that they don't care about. It's like everything's game. Everything is they're conscious of it through feeling, through sensation. That every one of their chakras, every one of your chakras, all it does is feel, and all it feels is your purpose. And when you feel your purpose in your chakras, everything around you is telling you what your purpose is, everything. And so there's this constant conversation that a master has through their chakras in and out, what they put out, how it comes back, and then how they receive, all of that going back and forth and back and forth. And that's, you know, and that's what these, you know, what we're trying to get at with, you know, with these, you know, with these archetypes in there is sort of like, what is that conversation? And each one of these archetypes you put in there make you feel, how am I communicating with the world through that chakra? You know, if I'm a warrior, and I have a little bit of that in me. I'm definitely, I love martial arts and that, but it's more of I call it my Olympian. I'm less of a fighter to win and more of a, the Olympian is more their personal best. They're doing their personal best. But one of those was the martial artist. And so one of the things that I found trees incredibly, and those that were at the summer retreat, you know, saw that I was like, you gotta work with trees. You gotta push them and tell them to move. And, you know, trees will teach you how futile it is to try to make someone else do anything that they don't want to do. And so they don't budge. They're, you know, a big tree is not going to go anywhere. You could yell at it, scream at it, you know, pull on it, whatever. It's just going to be there like, really? You and what army? But they're also great for kicking, punching, working with, you know, your weight with and doing that sort of thing. So as a warrior, you'd see a tree as a sort of a method of training or a way to hide or, you know, that sort of thing. So, and those would be just sort of things that just run through your brain. It wouldn't be, you wouldn't have to think, oh, gee, what would my warrior think here? You'd already be thinking it. That make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And you'd be feeling it, right? So that's what this is all about. So we're trying to, everything we do with your chart, from the vows, you know, every time you put a vow in something, you start noticing it in your life. It's like if I told you to excuse me, if I told you to, if I told you that there were now officially fewer, like 10% or 30% fewer red cars on the road, you'd start noticing. You'd open your six chakra up to the sensitivity of red in a car anywhere, and you'd start noticing. I'm not really seeing that many red cars anymore. And that's the sensitivity of your sixth chakra, of its eyes, of perception, of perceiving that way. Everything you put in your chart makes you start noticing. And you don't notice with your brain. You notice with your feelings. You start noticing, is that true? Your brain notices, it's looking for it. That's you put your attention on it. But then what we're after here is you doing starting to feel like, that's really how I'm, that's how I feel this. That's how I write myself in the world. That's how I do all this. So yeah, very cool stuff. All right. So I think we covered that, didn't we?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Right.
It was incredibly helpful.
You're so welcome. And good. I hope it helped everybody. Cause that, just that one little page, if you only use that, you could probably place all of them pretty, at least in one or two chakras, and then we can whittle it down, and that'll put you way ahead of the curve. Okay,
okay,
awesome.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Joanne, I'm putting you back on hold here. How's our time? All right, so we've got a half an hour. I need to go get some water for my voice, so I got to put all of you on hold for 1 minute, and who's on here that could – I could entertain you for a little bit. Why don't all of you think about, good. Oh, so we have a few more hands up. Good. You were in, looks like I've got the same person from Norwell called twice. Okay, good. All right. So I'll come right back on and we'll do one more call, but I got to go grab a drink of water really quick. So I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. And I'm back on. So let's go to Norwell 3320. Who's on Norwell 3320? Hello? So you're on whoever 3320 is. Star 6. Star 7 to talk. If you muted yourself. Okay, that's not on there anymore. You're still on there. So whoever called in 3320 and raised your hand twice, it looks like. Let me try your other one. Maybe you've got two lines going here. So Let's try it again. 3320, are you there? Norwell? Okay. So somebody else raised their hand. We'll probably take one more good one and we can work it through. Who's on there now?
Race?
3320, Norwell? Yeah. Hey.
Race, it's Martha.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Oh, hey. Oh, yeah.
Hey. Sorry, I had a little bit of a problem. I couldn't figure things out. Hi, it's Martha.
Okay. Hey.
What a nice evening. I have to share. I sat in on the LMT1 class, and it was such a beautiful reminder of everything. And I just wanted to ask tonight, just to verify on our archetypes, because I believe as we go on in life, they do change. Is that correct?
That is not correct.
Archetypes
never change. Interestingly, I start you with vows and freedom statements, which are always a never statement. And if you listen closely to Carolyn Mace on the language of the archetypes, she says any always or never statement for you is an archetype.
Okay.
So it defines the archetype. That's why we start with the vow and freedom statement, because it defines the archetype. You know, the real, your number one archetype, or number one vow and freedom statement should be the lower self and higher self of the, or the shadow and the light of the archetype.
Okay.
That's another way for you to check it.
I needed to ask that question again. Yeah.
No, it's really good. And thank you for doing that for the second years, because they, it's very common that people are like, well, I mean, yes, if you're the maiden, then the mother, then the crone, and that's like your archetype is to be, that's a very specific spiritual path to hold those, and the maiden, mother, crone are, they're wisdom keeper type. So they have that naive wisdom, and then the mothering wisdom, and then the real wisdom of the crone. They've always had that. It's like the maiden, mother, crone. It's not, I was a maiden. Oh, and then I was a mother. Oh, and then I became a crone. They've had all of that within them the whole time. And there are maidens, and there are mothers, and there are crones. But they were that way. I mean, oh God, there's this little girl from, where is she from? She lives in Marcella's apartment building over in Spain. And, where is it? Anyway, from Africa, some part of Africa. And they are, and this little girl is, she's got like the really tight, old, like 80, 90 year old women have like that hairdo that's like, that's just like a Brillo pad.
Yeah.
It's like this really tight, curls. And they wear it in a very specific sort of like, trimmed like an inch, maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches off their head. And she's not, I mean, they're not African. They're, one of the cultures there that, but when you look at her, she's an old lady. She is maybe 3 years old, maybe three or four at the oldest. And when you look at her and she looks at you and she looks at you like when she looks at you, she's like squints, like an old lady does, like what? what are you, and that she is a crone already. Like she's she was born that way. And now, so she's not going to go through maiden. She's never going through maiden or mother or anything. It's just like,
she's wise
or maybe mm-hmm. witch in there or something, but she's got something serious. So it's important to understand that, Your archetypes are contracts that are made.
Okay.
Your soul makes these contracts with these guides and energies within many of which are part of your soul tribe, but others are sort of, you know, enlisted guides that are consciousnesses that work with you, and soul consciousnesses work with you and will be there for you. And they're done before you come in. You got, and the reason that they don't change is that you are here to do one thing, and it's going to take all 12 of them doing one, really just one job in each of the chakras to get you to figure out that one thing. And if your archetypes can change, you know, and there's not a charismatic leader out there that doesn't tell me that their archetypes haven't changed. you know, oh yeah, that was the old me. You mean the axe murderer me? Yeah, that was so long ago. You know, No. That axe murderer is still right there, just waiting. Or whatever it is, you know, that's my, that was my charming side or whatever. So that's important. Did you have another question?
No, I just wanted to say, that, you know, life is pretty good, Reese. I walked the beach collecting, sea glass while I was listening to the first half of this. So, and then came back to the house.
Nice.
But the one thing that I would love to mention that is if anybody, everyone that's on the call that spoke from the second year class seems to be way ahead of where I was last year. But if anyone needs help, if you feel lost, like where do I put these things? Just put them, you know, because you'll change it as your classes go on. And then I ended up making a big, huge poster board of my chart with words. And if anybody would like to, I have no problem sharing it with anyone. You know, it depends on what kind of a learner you are. I need to put it down in a big space, look at it. And now I look at that chart every single day. So it's helped me tremendously. And I'm more than happy to share with the second years. And the third year,
love
too.
It. Yeah, that's awesome. And so what she's talking about, I think a lot of you know it as a vision board. And, you know, when you find a word in a magazine, cut it out. Stick it on your vision board. See something that you really love, you know. I love Martin Luther King, so I've got lots of – so I my vision board is just on my computer where I just – I download every time I see a picture online that I love, I just download it
right.
Or a saying or a glitchy thing or whatever it is, anything. And it's like, and so then I sort of start looking through them and all of those are my archetypes. Right.
And
so I have the evangelist in my fifth chakra, you know, that's that Martin Luther King. I want to, you know, that's what, you know, so, and you can, you know, that's a great way. Thank you, Martha, for sharing that. If you're sort of like, how do I pick from these cards? Because it's like you look at the cards, you're like, really? I don't have many of those, or I don't have, you know. An easier way is just to, you know, start downloading or in the magazines you buy or something, the thing that you're attracted to, or you think, yeah, I love that, or I love that, you know, whatever it is, anything, you know, being a chef or, you know, anything, put it in there. And words, there are powerful words for you. Love and enthusiasm.
That's how I started it, Reese, was I just started cutting out different words, you know, and
yep.
power words and things of that sort. And then I let it sit for quite, you know, for a few months. And then all of a sudden one day I said, I'm going to do this. And then I put it together and it was really a lot of fun. And I got to know myself better. In the process.
Yeah.
Really did. And that was right after we have our call with you and we went over the archetypes. And so then
nice.
I felt more confident at that point of actually placing them on the, what we're calling the vision board.
Right.
So thank you for letting me share.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. Cause it's really what you got to get is that, nothing has come out of your mouth or out of your mind or been seen that isn't seen through the lens of your chakra. And your chakra is in service of one of these archetypes. And so the way you see, the way you hear, the way you taste and touch and connect, and the word that you pulled out, you know, if you pull a word out, it's like, I love that word. I love that, you know, whatever it is, you know, go for it, you know, whatever. Then it's like, okay, what archetype
like
would say
things,
that?
Right. Like silly things like how to be a millionaire. You know what I mean? Like that's
right.
Even your sole purpose, how to be a millionaire.
Right.
So just like those punchlines like that, that can kind of keep us and steer us in the right direction each day. You know, you know, love, kindness, you know what I mean? And then of course you've got your light side. You've got your light side and you've got your shadow side of each of the chakras. So it's fun to do, you know, and it's about honesty too.
I love it. I love it. That's a great, and we've talked about, you know, doing vision boards in class, but there's only so much time. So, but it's certainly something you can do on your own.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Martha. You rock. Thank you. All right. So, lower hinge. Let me see if anybody put something on the Q&A. Come on. Nobody put anything on the Q&A. All right. So, all right. So I can take one more quickie. Anybody have something for my voice fails here? If anybody has anything, star 2. If not, hopefully this was super helpful for you to go through that. Just that one little exercise that we did get through, that was kind of like a, you know, just like a really good foundational way to do it. when you are thinking about archetypes, you know, feel free to take 30, you know, out of the deck and then you know, whittle them down and just say, yeah, I do that. But then also be really clear, you know, like Martha said, or asked the question at the beginning, is like, do these change? And the reality is that they don't. You should be able to see, you know, whatever it is, whatever archetype you have, of course, it'll be perfectly in harmony with the age you were. So, you know, so my iconoclast at 2 was learning, you know, and I didn't mention my dad was you know, less sure. He was a teacher, and he knew a lot. I mean, he was a math and English teacher and he taught special needs. And he knew a lot, but he was never going to be one of those guys arguing his point. He was much more of a sort of like thinker, emotional intelligence specialist kind of thing. And, you know, even though he was a great teacher, and he really knew his stuff. You know, it wasn't like my mom. My dad was super knowledgeable, but he kind of always believed there was more to learn. And my mom was super knowledgeable and believed that she probably had it all figured out. And so I'm at 2 years old, that little part of me is kind of like starting to see the difference in the, you know, sort of recognizing you learn this from one person, you learn that from, you know, yeah, behave this way with this person, that way with the other person. so kind of you look back, you know, what was your, where were you getting trained in that? What was happening in that? You know, my Olympian, in the third chakra, you know, looking back, you know, that's, I mean, from the moment I could walk, I was, you know, trying to, you know, my dad, was a tennis pro as well as a school teacher. And so in the summer times, we were up at the country club where he was teaching, and at 4 years old, I'm standing there with my racket. I want to play. And I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be a pro tennis player from, you know, as soon as I knew tennis existed, I watched my dad teach, and I hung around the court and played with the balls and whacking my tennis racket until finally my dad got me out there and I started playing tennis at four. And, you know, and just, you know, it was about the, you know, personal best, play, you know, wanted to be and started following the pros. So you'll see these things. They're with you your entire life. You can, if you can't see it in your whole life, then put it in there anyway, but then know that something deeper is going to come up for you. So, all right, you guys totally rock. We're going to wrap up. I'm going to go save my voice and, I will see you in a couple of weeks. And let me unmute everybody to say goodbye.
Bye, Reese. Thank you very much.
Good night,
bye,
Reese.
No,
thank
you.
You guys rock.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully you weren't unmuted.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key.